Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio is Dr. Les Olala, co-host of the broadcast, Chancellor of Northland Baptist Bible College. And Doc, we're in here with our Bibles again this morning, talking about a series that we began a number of broadcasts ago called Living Confidently in the Midst of Our Fears. And I know the broadcast has been a blessing to our listeners. I know it's certainly been a blessing to me. You've been talking to us about the life of a young man named Timothy who ministered in a church that Paul pastored. And maybe you can just kind of give us a quick recap on Timothy's life from your perspective.
Well, as Paul saw that church planted there in Ephesus, and then as Paul moved on, he left Timothy in charge. And Timothy obviously ran into situations that he felt were beyond him and began to be controlled by fears and obviously some anxieties. And Paul had to, as a loving father mentor, instruct him from God's truth to get him focused back on God. And the text that we've been dealing with, the 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, telling Timothy, God has not given you a spirit of fear. That is, if you're functioning in fear, that isn't a God-given thing. That is something that Satan uses. And to me, it's quite significant that God will allow us to be tested when we live with fear. And where
you're going to have to explain that one.
Maybe I didn't say that clearly enough. Let me ask it in the form of a question, make it a statement in the form of a question. Where was Job tested? In other words, what did God allow in Job's life?
Yeah, fear, all the things he feared.
He said, that which I feared has come to pass. Now, God told Satan straight up that you cannot touch his life. And then this may be stretching Scripture a little bit. I don't know. But to me, it was quite amusing that when he made the statement, that which I feared, what was he doing? He was offering sacrifices in case his kids were doing something wrong. He was so concerned, and wherever he feared,
Satan went after it.
He was touched. And fear is a handle that we give to Satan to control us when we don't trust God.
And then you can see that in your – I can see that in my own life.
Yes. So you let the things that become indifferent, areas that you say, I should be making this step. I should be doing this. But I fear. And then Satan gets control of that area because I was too – faithless to make that step. And Paul, fortunately, was giving Timothy guidelines that had been left for us in God's inspired word. This letter Paul wrote to Timothy in the inspired canon of Scripture so that we now, as pastors and servants and lay people and mothers and dads and children, can learn from this timid one the instruction that God had given through Paul to him. And he said, you have not been given fear, but you'd be given power. We talked about that. Love. So you have a confidence and you have a compassion. Thirdly, I have given you a sound mind. I call that a right concentration.
So literally, you have spiritual confidence in the Lord. You have compassion for others that are sourced in God's love for you. And now we're talking about here the ability to concentrate on right thinking.
Yeah. What happens to our mind when we get broadsided?
Well, I can tell you what happens to mine. I just spin out of control. I mean, I invent things. My wife is constantly saying, nobody's thinking that about you. And I've got this whole case already made out. Somebody doesn't come to church. In my mind, they're already leaving. And I've built this whole castle, and I'm living in the castle in my head. And my wife will say, you know, they were just – they just went out of town for the weekend. But in my mind, I've already made this case.
And that is how we think humanly.
Oh, yeah.
Because we do allow our thinking to be high and low. And as leaders, we have to – that statement I wrote down several months ago. If a leader is not what he wants his people to become, he will become what they are.
That's very convicting, by the way.
I remember – when I would preach ordination services, I said, you have to be constant when you go into your pastoral ministry. People, when they're high or when they're low, you're not high when they're high, low when they're low. You always are there. And when they're high, you're there. When they're low, you're in that same spot. But you're not up and down, because a sound mind gives you a concentration through the midst of positives and negatives that keeps you constant.
Like a consistency almost.
A consistency that is not controlled by people's growth or non-growth.
So, okay, I'm going to use my own self as an example here, Doc, because, I mean, you and I have been hanging out together for a long time. How do I develop, and I'm sure our listeners would think this, because life is full of ups and downs. How do I develop that constancy in the middle of it? Because I can't fake it.
Yeah, I think, first of all, there has to be an admission to God,
mm-hmm.
which drives me to Him. Because we have to say, God, I've taken my gaze off You. I've put my gaze on people and what I'm wanting them to become. I'm becoming like them because I'm not what I want them to become. I'm becoming what they are.
You know, you had an idea or a statement that you made years ago that you become like what you focus on.
Yeah. You become like your emotional focus. That is, if you have a contempt for a person or a situation, you concentrate on that. Then you develop a contempt for that. And then you become controlled by that. And then you conform to it. And so you end up actually being controlled and conforming to something or someone for whom you have contempt.
Mm-hmm.
A third party looking in said, but you're just like that.
I mean, that is so true.
But then it goes the other way too. Compassion for Him, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, looking unto Jesus, that is away from everything
mm-hmm.
else,
mm-hmm.
singly fixed on Him. So my compassion for Him leads me to concentrate on Him, that leads me to conform to Him, that leads me to be controlled by Him.
Wow.
And so a third part of looking in says, I can't believe how godly you are in the midst of this. You're so like Christ in the midst of this.
Mm.
Well, I become like my gaze. If I gaze upon a negative circumstance, that becomes my focus, then that's what I become.
Hmm.
Because I don't have a sound mind. My soundness of mind comes from my gaze on Him.
I don't think I'm ever going to read this passage the same way again. You know, that is so incredible. That, I mean, because that's exactly where we live.
Yeah, we get controlled by the highs and the lows, and our peace or lack of peace is generally controlled by circumstances instead of by Him.
And you were talking about the North Star, the looking unto the author and finisher of our faith. That's the North Star.
Yeah, when we're in the midst of storms, and you know the old sailing ships would fix on that, that doesn't move. When you see that is my fixed point. But if I say, bring down the sails, the storm's going to get us anyway. Let's just go down with it. And we wrap everything up and we start living as a defeated person rather mm-hmm. than living with the power that is in us and the love that He has given to us. We are now beginning to function with the mind that is unstable. And you look at Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your
reasonable
service. What does that word reasonable mean?
It has the idea of, I don't want to say logical, but it has the idea of this is something that ought to be the natural outflow of you looking at the mercies of God that you've experienced.
That is logical. The actual Greek base is based in logic.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Greek base of that word, mm-hmm. reasonable. It's your logical conclusion you make based on what you've been mm-hmm. given in Romans chapter 1 through 11. In your sanctification, your glorification, your redemption. It is the logical step that you make. It is a reasoned process.
This is the sound mind we're talking
yes.
about here.
Uh-huh.
So, Doc, we have listeners, and I'm sure, you know, we have people that are in our life, and, you know, they're in the midst of the sea, and they've been overcome by a fear, and it's stopping them from their walk with God, stopping them from serving God. And we come to them, and we say, God has not given you this. This is not from God. God has given you a spirit of love and of power. End of a sound mind. How would you help a person develop a sound mind? How would you help a person become a person who concentrates consistently on the North Star?
Well, it has to be a saturation in the Scriptures. You know, the other day, I just needed to hear from God. So I went alone to pick berries in a place that I try to do annually, but I spent probably 5 of my 6 hours driving with the Bible on disc, packing my mind
mm-hmm.
with Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
The only way we can get right thinking is in the right source, and that right source is God's inspired Word. And thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Isaiah. In fact, there was the last chapter I listened to was Isaiah chapter 26, and verse 3 came up in that third verse. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. So again, it goes back to the focus. Now, if I go back, well, I think I'm going to read Norman Vincent Peale, or I think I'm going to read something else. No, I take the Word, the Spirit of God, I take that, and it's what God gave me for clear thinking. And when you look at the words in Romans 12:3, a man should not think of himself more highly than he ought to think. 1 Timothy 3:2, think soberly. That is, it's a clear, it is a concentrated, very disciplined thinking. And actually, that word, it almost looks like the word sophomore in the Greek. S-O-P-H-R-O, sophronismos, sophronismos. It is a discipline where I say, you know what, Satan is not going to control this. My focus is going to be on him.
And that's hard to do, but it has to be done.
It has to be done. Otherwise, I'm left on my own.
Right. And I think that's where a lot of people live. Their fears so overwhelm them, they don't want to go to the Scriptures.
Well, when I was meeting with a group of pastors a while back, a pastor brought up a situation and by way of question. And he says, but what about when you don't feel like you're so down, you don't want to go to the Scriptures? I said, that's when you have to go to the Scriptures. It's not a matter of a want to or feel like. You have to go. That's where that answer is. That's where that source is. That's where right thinking is.
You know, sick people who get to certain points need food, and yet they can get so dehydrated or so weak, they don't even want to eat. And the very thing they need is the very thing that their body is telling them, I don't want. But they have to have it. And the minute you give them the food and you get it in them, sometimes you have to IV it in them, you can see the restoration begin to happen. And I think this is a good parallel for what we're talking about here. Well, Doc, this has been so encouraging. I know we have two more broadcasts in our series, and I'm looking forward to what we're going to talk about, because we're going to get into a very interesting part of this as we talk about our natural responses to this. But as we close our broadcast today, for those of you listening to the broadcast, I want to encourage you to go to www.thewordforlife.org. Download today's broadcast and pass it on to a friend who might be blessed by this. And we'll ask the Lord to bless you until the next time that we're together. May the Lord bless.